Good evening, good morning, dear ones. Welcome to our midweek church service on this 11th day of July 2018. Welcome to those also that are joining us on the phone or listening to the recording, and glad to have you with us tonight. I think it's very important that we have brothers and sisters among us that desire to become more active in taking a leading role in the church services. And Brother James has willingly consented to lead out tonight. And thank you, Brother, for leading out last Wednesday. Thank you so very much. But if there's other brothers or sisters that would like to take a more active role in the church services, please get in contact with myself, and we'll see if we can allow you to lead out and bring your talent, bring your gifts to benefit one another. And that way it will not just be myself that is continually leading out, and individuals become contented, I guess, or accustomed to how the Lord leads me to preach, and may become a little bit tired of hearing my voice. But to have other individuals utilize their talents in edifying and blessing our fellow brothers and sisters in this church family, I think would be wonderful. So please take it to the Lord and get back with me. And so now I'm going to turn.
Well, thank you, Brother Bob. And I don't get sick of your voice, brother. I love what you've shared over the years, decades, although I haven't been in the church decades. And that I hear what you're saying. And it is a great experience for me to be around other brothers and sisters of like faith. How different it is throughout the rest of the week when most people you meet or talk to, be they Christians or otherwise, there's not a whole lot you might necessarily have in common with them. So there's limitations. Yeah. So I'm sorry, Brother Bob, but I don't know how to actually put a song in the room. I had this issue last week. Perhaps you might like to put something in for us to have a starting song. And good morning and good evening and good afternoon, wherever you may be. I know Sister Ida's not here, so the thought of the threes is not coming to me at the moment, but that chilling breeze reminds me of her. Would someone like to start off this song called Jesus Lover?
Thank you, brother. Jesus Lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last.
Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not. Boy, what happened there? Still support and comfort me. All my trust in thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy.
Will thou not regard my call? Will thou not accept my prayer? Lo, I sink, I faint, I fall. Lo, on thee I cast my care. Reach me out thy gracious hand, while of thy strength receive. Hoping against hope I stand, dying and behold I live.
Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name, source of all true righteousness. Thou art evermore the same, thou art full of truth and grace.
Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of thee. Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity. Amen. And thank you, brethren. I'm not sure if I've heard that before. If I have, I haven't got it listed in my file. But praise the Lord for a voice to sing the truths of the Word of God, and how encouraging it is that we not only can read it and believe it, but we can sing it to melody and also memorize it. Shall we kneel in prayer? Or as far as possible, before we read the Bible. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Everywhere I look, we look, we see blessings in the book of nature. We see the blessing of following the 8 laws of health. We see the blessing of the Ten Commandments not bringing guilt in our lives. And we especially see Jesus Christ with healing in his wings for sins committed in the past, so that we don't live in guilt or condemnation anymore, but in you, Jesus, where there is no condemnation. You who became sin for us and for our justification rose from the dead. Thank you for your continued ministry on our behalf in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, continuing that most important judgment work, the finishing of the atonement work that started in 1844, the 22nd of October, the end of the 2300 days or 2300 years of Bible prophecy. Thank you for an understanding of this. We pray never to be content with what we do know, and especially when we meet people that may not know anything about it. We want to impress them with your love for them and how much you care for them as you love us, so we can comfort them like we're comforted. We ask that the Bible would become alive to us as we read today from the book of Acts, which is an inspiring book regarding the disciples that became, after 3.5 years, apostles, and others who also joined and believed in the word that they testified of, so that we too can have a share in the power of what it means to be a Christian, of overcoming this world through faith. I want to thank you for the many mercies, such as taking care of those Thailand individuals, children and an adult in the caves, for rescuing them, for blessing them. Many believe, in Thailand at least, that it was the god of rain, an idol that made it happen, that caused it to become true. But we know that's not true. And we ask that you would continue to bless Christian missionaries, though they be few in that dear dark land of precious souls, to know the true God in a very different light, and to help the world see that you are not one God, or the Godhead is not one among many, but you have a real character that we see expressed in your Son. And we know of his power, of his life, by the Holy Spirit that's given to all of us who believe. Thank you so much for blessing Sister Lucy in the passing of her inspection, and we look forward to any problems that she shared to be promptly fixed. And thank you for helping her find grace in the sight of the inspector. Thank you for helping our brethren and sisters with being hopeful under awkward circumstances. We think about our dear brother Moses, and sorry to hear that he is still in prison. We know that everything's in control, even this incident, especially this incident that has taken place. And we pray for wisdom and mercy in the sight of those who have put him there, that the truth might come out and you be more than glorified, that you would fulfill Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. Well, hello again, everybody. It's a privilege to be here again with you after one whole week. Seems like just yesterday, I always say that to Sister Lucy. You think I'd come up with a new saying? We, last week, got through the section in Acts chapter 13, and we went through the subject of the Baptist John the Baptist, how he recognized his unworthiness to such an extent that he couldn't even consider himself being a servant, because he didn't even see himself worthy enough to untie his shoe latchet of Jesus Christ. Oh, I want that experience to say that constantly about Jesus, don't you? To not be even, to recognize so unworthy to have any part in being called. And I'm really glad John the Baptist is in the Bible. It gives me a lot of encouragement personally, someone to model after because of his faith in Jesus, and especially the time that he came on the scene in preparing the way of the Lord. We also went through Christ's condescension that's brought out by John, sharing his understanding of him fulfilling Isaiah 40 verse 3, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah, which is listed in John 1:23. And I gave you last week a parallel, or trying to compare it with us, what something of the condescension Christ must have been. And we know that there are orders of beings. We know that angels are the highest of order, according to the Bible. And then you have the original, and then you have, of course, unfallen beings on all the planets. And you, in relation to that, we have original man, or man that was sinless and blessed in nature until sin occurred, and then you have a man that's now changed his nature to fallen nature and sinful flesh. And I found the comparison, the only way I can understand as a man to kind of understand something of the condescension of Jesus was, it's like us being a man, the next order below us would be the beast, which was created on the same day as man. And then the next order below would be insects. And then after that, all I could find was dirt. So something of the condescension that we might be able to understand as human beings. And we're told time and again in the spirit of prophecy that it'll be the theme of the redeemed, the science of salvation, and also their song. We also talked about, in verse 27, about ways in which the Israelites were denying the Jews that had rejected Christ, how they had rejected in doing so. We looked at the denying of Christ's righteousness still taking place today and can still take place. We still have the choice. After all, there's no choice if you can't make the wrong decision in such a one as this. And we look at verse 39 as well, dealing with the fact that, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Which last week we were talking, imagine yourself being a Jew who believed in the law of Moses being the end all of their salvation. That is, they follow the law of Moses to their understanding, and that is their salvation. That is their faith. And for sins that are committed in the past, well, they're taken care of by, you know, good works or righteousness done in the future. But no, they have no perfect gift to offer Christ. To offer God. They have no righteousness of their own that can really take away the sins that are past. I think we looked at, how Paul said this about Abraham, in previous chapters of the book of Acts, and how Abraham was justified by faith and not by the law. And so I want to ask you all, what does it mean? Why are we justified today? Not by the law of Moses, but by Christ. Because we still have Jews today, don't we, to witness to. And depending where you live, you might have many, or you might not have any. I remember Sister Ida sharing she was witnessing to a Jew who hadn't accepted Christ as the Messiah that's come. Does anyone have any thoughts about this before we start verse 4? Okay, well, we'll keep going along, and because Paul does continue his discussion. So he continues talking to the congregation, who said that a certain of the leaders said, "Ye brethren, if you have anything to any exhortation, say on." And he continued from verse 40, chapter 13 of Acts. "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Curious to know where that quote came from. It comes from Habakkuk regarding the invasion of the Chaldeans to Jerusalem, and Paul's applying it to Jews of Christ's day. Christ also foretold of the destruction of Jerusalem, as we remember in Matthew 24, the great prophecy of the future, when the disciples came up to him and said, "Tell us, when shall the end be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" And it was much like Stephen's speech as well, which is given in Acts 7:51. After all the time that Paul's had, which may have taken 2 or 3 minutes, I mean, depending. Maybe he spoke slower than us. But by the time he gets to verse 40 and 41, he's rounding up what he's been saying. And I can't help but think it seems that the same things were happening to Stephen, in that signs of anger and impatience, because he was just telling them about the history of where Israel came from and how Christ is the fulfillment to Israel, the Son of God given for Israel, and not for Israel only, but for the whole world, which Israel was to prepare to receive. And then he says this scathing rebuke, a quote from Habakkuk.
Yeah, I find it interesting that history repeats. And I also find it very interesting that Paul takes the history of Habakkuk connected with Babylon and applies it to the Jews of his day. And when you look at the religion of Babylon, it was very works oriented. And that's exactly what I think Paul is trying to bring out here, is that the Jews were fixated on the sacrifices cleansing them, when it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can cleanse us from sin. Those were just a carried out symbol of the Messiah that would come and be able to cleanse individuals through his sacrifice. He was the antitype of all of those sacrificial offerings. And so Paul here is trying to bring out the fact here that you can't be justified by the law of Moses. Those sacrifices can't in any way cleanse you from sin. And thus you have to have faith in what the sacrifices symbolized or pointed to, which was Jesus Christ. But if you continue in a works religion, like the Babylonians, then you're going to perish just like they did. So I find that very interesting, brother, as you were bringing out there.
Thank you for that, bro. You know, when we look at the Jews, we think, well, how could they have not realized that an animal can't pay for their sins? And especially because they kept doing it. I mean, they kept having to kill an animal. I mean, surely if an animal takes away all your sins, you should just do it once. And of course, that's what Christ is. But no, these had to be regularly, morning and evening, and year in, year out. That led to the ultimate Day of Atonement, where the sins of all of Israel, for those faithful in repenting of them, might have them blotted out from the typical sanctuary service. Thank you for that, bro. Very clear. Very clear indeed. What a shame that they didn't have an understanding to the point that would have... I've read time and again throughout the Bible, and The Desire of Ages, the next best book other than the Bible on the life of Christ, that brings out time and again just how much they knew that as much as Jesus wasn't fulfilling their desires and their twisted understanding of prophecy, they knew his character would more than make up for that. And all the things that he was doing, I mean, their heart was reached. Their heart was reached indeed. Would someone like to read verses 42 and 43?
And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
It makes me wonder why they wanted to wait a week to hear it. Why didn't they say, can we get an afternoon meeting?
Now that is a good point. I don't know. That sounds like a homework question. That is a very good point. Perhaps because they were so busy. We know that as Sabbath observers, we believe in working the six other days. So could they not find an hour and a half the next day? That's a very good question, Brother Dick. I don't have an answer. I'm curious. You know, it's interesting, if Paul had withheld from telling the things of the gospel, which he knew would have upset at least some Jews, especially through his experience already, where we were told time and again how the Jews started to listen to him. And isn't this the guy that used to destroy this sect that they'll call the Christians? And they were listening, and after a while it was getting on their nerves because he was only using the Old Testament to support that Jesus was the Christ. And they got to the point where they wanted to kill him. And he had to flee for his life. And so it wouldn't have been surprising if Paul was expecting some resistance here. But imagine if he had a thought that when he was given the opportunity by the men and brethren who came to him and said, "Men and brethren, have you got any exhortation for us, etc.?" Imagine if he had a thought, "Well, I don't want to offend them, so I might just give them so much." But no, he gave them enough for Jews and Gentile alike to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that no doubt did upset some of them, or maybe even many of them. Because otherwise they wouldn't have been besought, would they? If they had kept the gospel hidden, or, you know, lowered their banner or the standard of the gospel, it's very unlikely the Gentiles would have seen any really good in beseeching them the next time to come and have them share more of this good news. I love that quote that Elder Bob just mentioned in verse 43, that to continue in the grace of God. Notice that it came, the truth had to be heard first. This is a fulfillment of another statement of Paul's, whereby the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And then it doesn't just stop there, does it? We then follow with in the grace of God, in the fulfillment of that word. And so he was telling them to do just that.
No, I find it interesting here that the Gentiles were in that meeting to begin with. They didn't know what Paul was going to share, but perhaps word had gotten to them regarding Paul and Barnabas that, you know, they were, the message that they had was a message that was amazing and completely different from the Jews' religion. So I think word had gotten to them to go and hear Paul and Barnabas. So some of them came and heard, and it was in the synagogue there in verse 42. And I think that may be the reason why the meetings were put off for a week, is because it was taking place in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And so the next meeting, public meeting for worshiping God, would be in the synagogue on the next Sabbath. So I think that's the reason why there was a week difference there. But I also find it quite amazing that the Gentiles were willing to come to church on the Sabbath when their worship day was on Sunday, the first day of the week. So I find that quite amazing here. But the Gentiles recognized that Paul was not just backing up the round of dead ceremonies that were taking place in the Jewish religion. Now, they crucified Christ, so all the rest of their worship of God was dead. But they recognized that Paul was bringing out a message that condemned the Jews because of their rejection of the Messiah. And I think that was something that really brought curiosity to them. They wanted to hear more about this Messiah that the Jews rejected and crucified. So, you know, because as you mentioned there, Paul didn't mince words. He came right to the point, brought it out very clearly in 2 or 3 minute talk that continued the discussion later that day after the meeting was over, because there was individuals that wanted to talk to Paul and Barnabas and ask them questions and so on. And Paul and Barnabas persuaded them to continue in the grace of God, continue to study, to show themselves approved. But now word is going from these Gentiles throughout all of their friends and relatives and neighbors and companions and so on that, hey, the, you know, this Paul and Barnabas preached a message that the Jews didn't like. So it must be really important to hear.
Fantastic point, Elder Bob. perhaps it was just purely holy, curiosity. Paul was using the scriptures to back up his preaching. So they had good reason to think, well, maybe it's true. This is not just Paul's not out to get the Jew. But of course they could see he wasn't, because he was going through, 1500 years of history about what God in his great mercy had done for his people up till that time. I know if I were a Gentile, that is marvelous. A good point you brought out, Otto Bob, about how, why they were there in the first place, to come on Sabbath, so unusual to them. There were no doubt proselytes in the congregation, but not all of them would have necessarily been, and that's just marvelous that there were any. And then we come to verses 44 and 45, unless someone would like to share any further comment. Perhaps we can read from verse 44... to verse 49. Would someone like to read that from verse 44 to verse 49?
Hello, everyone. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the end of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region.
Amen. Thank you, sister. I know if I were a Gentile, I'd be pretty excited with that last Old Testament quotation, especially with the unfortunate attitude that the Jews generally had, that they believed that they were worthy of the highest blessing of God. And the and when the apostles, such as Paul, brings it the greatest blessing of all, eternal life, not a dead lamb, literal lamb, or goat, or bullock, the exclusiveness and jealous pride the Jews had, unfortunately, passed judgment upon themselves, which led to what you just read, Sister Lucy, where they were led to contradict and blaspheme the very words of the gospel that were given. How much evangelism do you think it must have taken in verse 44 for the whole city, which, is distinct from the Jews, because it mentions the whole city, and then in verse 46, it mentions the Jews by themselves. Verse 45 talks about the Jews seeing the multitudes. So the whole city, most of them would have been non-Jews. And here, what kind of evangelism program must have been that for the whole city? Can you imagine? They probably didn't even have enough room to fit into the church. They would have been looking through the windows and, at the door entrance, or if they didn't have room enough there because there was thousands, they must have had it, some way out of the, church so everyone could at least, hear what was being shared. The quote in verse 47 that Paul shares is a quote from Isaiah 49:6. And like other quotes in the New Testament, it speaks about the truth going to the ends of the earth. We have Jesus saying that that's what would occur in chapter 28, verse 19. And Paul spoke of the gospel in Colossians 1:23 going to the ends of the earth. And I was thinking about this, and I think I've talked to Elder Bob a while ago, years ago, about this, about just how far did that gospel go? And he brought to my attention an interesting quote from the Spirit of Prophecy regarding our day. It's a quote from Three Selected Messages, page 406. Quote, after the truth has been proclaimed as a witness to all nations, at a time when every conceivable power of evil is set in operation, when minds are confused by the many voices crying, lo, here is Christ, lo, he is there. This is truth. I have a message from God. He has sent me with great light. And there is a removing of the landmarks and an attempt to tear down the pillars of our faith. This is Ellen G. White speaking. Then a more decided effort is made to exalt the false Sabbath and to cast contempt upon God himself by supplanting the day he has blessed and sanctified. End of quote. I thought to myself, what a parallel. What a parallel. She says when the truth goes forward to witness to all nations, And if you've ever studied the history of the church that Sister White was part of, it's the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the most Protestant church in times gone by. And she's talking about our own church removing of the landmarks, an attempt to tear down the pillars of our faith. And then after those two things take place, among other things, an effort is made to exalt the false Sabbath. Does anyone have any thoughts? I see the time's 9:41. And I meant, Sister Sheila, yes, they are removing it. It has been done well and truly, and it just continues to grow until the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the clouds of heaven. It's enormous, and the privilege of us in these last days, if I can say, you know, this borrowed time, another person put it that way, is the reality that everyone is actually going to hear the last message of mercy, because we're told in the book of Revelation chapter 14, and the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath which is poured out with it and without mixture into the cup of his indignation.
Amen, brother. And again, we see history repeating. And I find it interesting that back in verse 45, after Paul and Barnabas had preached the word, it says that the Jews were filled with envy when they saw the multitudes coming and filling their synagogue. So that envy led them to reject, to contradict, and blaspheme the message of salvation. And they were jealous, envious of the fact that the Gentiles that, you know, maybe they had 10 at the most in a year, perhaps, convert to Judaism. Here they saw almost the whole city coming to hear the words of Paul and Barnabas. And it was that sight that prejudiced their hearts. So envy and jealousy were as a barrier to the present truth being received by the Jews. And it's no different today. Prejudice envy, jealousy will also cloud our vision. It will blind us to the beautifulness of the truth of the gospel. So just like back then, the same thing is taking place today. But praise God that His truth will fill this dark world with His glory as the waters cover the sea. And that's also in Habakkuk 2:14.
Amen. And also mentioned here in verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. That's the tendency of the word of the Lord. Like His sunshine and rain, it goes to all people. To all people. Thank you for those points made there, Brother Bob. What a difference from the Jews' response in verse 46 to the Greek's response in verse 48. Oh my, I would think I would be like that too. I mean, there's hope for us. We're on the same lining before others. I mean, the Jews aren't above us and not below us. God loves us just as much as He loves them. And He'll save us if we want to be saved. There's some serious questions. If none of us, as human beings, we don't naturally think we need saving from anything. In fact, it's just natural to go along with whatever we think is right. And if that were true, then we would be okay eating whatever our appetites like. We'd be okay, you know, thinking whatever we think, that must be okay because God gave us a mind and we can think. But that's not true, because if it were true, I mean, this world would be a lovely place to live in. Like, everywhere it would just be, there'd be no shame, misery, there'd be no guilt. There'd be no broken homes, there'd be no stealing, adultery. You know, it's very rare you find people out there in the world that have any real problem with the Ten Commandments. They see it and they go, you know, even though it mentions God, they might be the biggest atheist you know. But they really don't see a real problem with them. They see that they make sense, not nonsense. That they are full, they're brief, but they're descriptive. They're to the point. And they give us the very, the furthest you can go on a sin. For instance, once you kill someone, you can't kill them again. You can't go beyond committing adultery. That's as far as the act of sin goes. You can do the same act again, of course, but you can't go beyond adultery. I mean, adultery is the sum of, you know, of evil in breaking it, the seventh commandment. So, and so are all the other commandments. They truly are a wall to all of us that see that in Jesus Christ, why He's righteous is because He obeyed God in sinful human flesh and sinful nature, which you and I inherit and which we have right now. Does anyone else have any thoughts? Comments. I see it's 9:48, and perhaps we could go on to a season of prayer after this. But any thoughts, any further consideration, any prayer requests?
I would like to praise the Lord for allowing us to still have the amount of freedom that we do. I was reading an article about the Christians over in Cameroon. Are being targeted city by city for death, and many of them are fleeing across the border into other countries. Also in China, they've implemented a information act where the minister or the priest is to give information on all the attendees. And, you know, here in America, we just don't have that type of restriction yet. It's sort of behind the scenes, taking place without knowledge, you know, tapping lines and so on. But there it's out in the open. And so I just like to praise God for the freedom that we do have. Yes, we know it's coming. Very true. And it also shows us that we need to get busy while we still have the freedom to do so, because pretty soon it's going to be extremely difficult to spread the truth. So what we do now is going to pay off big in the end, because it's going to reach a whole lot more people than it will when there's greater.
Elder Bob, I want to support wholeheartedly what you're saying. I'm talking for myself here. I just don't spend long enough appreciating how easy we have it. You know, you hear of these sorts of things like you're saying in the Cameroons and our own brother in Africa and so on, being persecuted. I mean, and it's much worse probably than we even know. And I just don't spend enough time pondering this and giving thanks for how very easy the Christian walk is in you know, most of our countries, the America here and elsewhere. It's such a huge blessing. And I, for myself, as I said, need to spend more time giving praise, giving thanks for that. Just think what it would be like if it wasn't so easy.
I have a comment. Can you hear me? Yes, something wrong with my computer. Okay. Yes, that's interesting what Lucy was saying. And also, let us know that the spirit of prophecy is really, really coming to pass, because she told us a long time ago about the landmark, meaning I know soon the Sabbath going to be removed, because it said the whole world going to worship the beast, and only those that are commandment keeping people, they're going to able to stand for whatever it is, whatever the cost. So we could see in Bible and in spirit of prophecy, let us know that the time is near. So amen to that. It let us know that everything is so true. I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you all for those praises, because it encourages my heart when I go out, like I hope to today after this meeting is closed, because, I mean, if it was against the law to do it, I think it would be just terrible. You know, we have it so easy here in Australia. I mean, I'm glad people had the freedom of choice to just say, no to you, because although they say that, and most of the times it is like that, the Lord said for the word to go to everyone, and everyone means everyone. And if you ever are wondering, did I do things right? I'm not saying you shouldn't ask yourself, can you improve something? But just remember this one word, and I often say it to myself, 7 billion. Plus. And then, my concerns go away. Just keep going, for the work is enormous before you, to share the seeds of truth as quickly as possible. And also, I've often wondered, I'm blessed out here where I am. I mean, I should send you a picture of where I am. It's just gorgeous. Lucy would laugh at that statement, because half of it's not. But the rest of it is, where it's just natural. And that is, I want my savings in heaven. You know, you have a savings account. Generally, if you have a bank account, you have a savings account. And I have very little in that account, but, in case, you have a car accident or an unexpected emergency or bill arises and you want to be able to pay it immediately, you might need to pay it immediately without borrowing money. But, you send the money before, it's worth, what was it, 10 times more, the amount, in spending it now toward God's cause. I find it very encouraging. And I also want to say that I was recently blessed to find a Bible that shows you the Hebrew and Greek strong concordance numbers under every word, except prepositions. And I'm thinking, wow. See, I didn't even know what to ask the people that I was. I just said, I want the biggest, best cross-reference Bible you've got. And who knows what sort of answers you might get. I must have emailed 20 different organizations, shops, etc. Mostly on, all of it was online, actually. What type of Bible is it? It's called Academy Study Bible. And it also has extra features, of course, like... It's naturally, it's got the Hebrew and Greek dictionary, but it's And it's also got E.G. White comments. It's got the semicolon with Bible cross-references. It's got other things I'm not sharing just now. I haven't got it right in front of me, but it's coming soon. And what I love about it most is it's got the actual strong concordance numbers. So I love concordances, and I'm sure perhaps everyone here has one. But to have it in the Bible, although it doesn't have all the cross-references under a particular word, it's actually got the whole dictionary. So if you really, you know how we know that the Bible wasn't written in English, you can just quickly, in your own Bible, just go to that word, by the number, and find it, and, oh, right. Yeah, you'd think it'd be huge. It's nothing like my book project, is it, Liz? But it's reasonable. It's a big Bible, but it's not too big. Like, well, I should be careful what I say. I mean, my idea is huge. But it's beautiful, and I praise God someone's thought of this, because Lucy and I got to the point of just getting a defined King James Bible, so every word that doesn't, it's sort of left out of usage now, they've given the meaning today, but this actually goes to the Hebrew and Greek and tells us, not what the translators thought it could be, but actually what it is. So I think it's just fantastic. So I praise the Lord, and thank you for bringing those things to my attention, the testimonies. Well, it's 9:57. Perhaps we can have a season of prayer now. For anyone who is impressed to pray, please feel free, and perhaps I could close in prayer after anyone and everyone who may want to praise and talk to the Lord with us.
Precious Father in heaven, we thank you that you're in control of your work, and that it will indeed fill this world with glory, with the plan of salvation as the waters cover the sea, and that precious souls will indeed make their decision for or against, and we pray, of course, for. We thank you, Father, that your word will not come back void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it was given. And thank you for allowing us to have a part in spreading the word, that we may also have a part in the harvest of precious souls. We thank you for allowing us to read these words in Acts, and I pray that you'll help us to remember the lessons that were brought forth, especially on how history repeats. And please help us to avoid envy, jealousy, prejudice, but to have open minds when it comes to thy word of truth. And please, Spirit, be there to quicken our understanding and to convict us and reprove us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. We pray for the individuals that our brother James and sister Lucy has witnessed to, and that they will remember the words that were shared, especially the individual that is open to the Sabbath, and may they understand the truth and make a decision to follow it, because it is truth. And if they have questions and concerns, let them please open these issues up with our dear brother and give him the words of wisdom to help them comprehend and understand the truth. We pray for our dear brother Moses that is enduring prison life at this moment for sharing thy word, and we pray that his faith will not fail, that he will recognize and understand that people are praying for him and lifting him up. And I pray, Father, according to thy perfect will, that the way be opened up for him to be released and for him to have a testimony to glorify you and to encourage others to take the truth far and wide, regardless of the consequences. Please also give Brother Moses the words of wisdom to share to the fellow prisoners there, that they may recognize that the gospel changes lives, and let them desire that same change by allowing Jesus in their heart. Thank you again, Father, for the freedom we have, and please help us to take advantage of this, because if we do not do so, then we will still have to share the truth, but it will be under much more greater pressures than what we have now. Thank you for opening our eyes. And please, dear Spirit, fix the truth in our hearts that we will not be shaken away from it, but may keep our feet firmly grounded on the rock Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, it's such a blessing to be able to unite in praise of you as we are doing right now, to acknowledge your benevolence, your protection, and above all, your eternal promise of forgiveness for our sins. All of them, no matter how huge they might be, if we are truly repentant in our hearts and not just saying the words. What an amazing blessing that is. I know I do pray that often, Lord, but that's because I am continually overwhelmed by this great privilege. And yet another great favor you have made available to us is the gift of your Son, Jesus, as our heavenly advocate, whom we know died a most horrendous death, too appalling for most of us to fully understand. Yet he died that we might benefit from your promise of eternal life, available to all who believe in you and who follow your covenant. This privilege of eternal life is almost more than some of us, like me, can fully comprehend. Such is the frailty of our human understanding. Yet we do believe it wholeheartedly, because this gift is your word, and so unworthy do we feel. We love you, dear Father, and we long to love you with an even more fulsome and perfect love. And we plead, as did the Apostle Peter, that you will look right into our hearts and know the depths of our love, even though far too often we act contrary to this. Please help us to banish sin from our lives, God, even though we are constantly striving to overcome any and every thought and action that goes against your commandments, how often we fail. In closing this prayer, Lord, I ask that you help us find even more room for you in our lives, so that we may more thoroughly absorb the truths of your gospel, as we have had the blessing of so doing today. We thank you for listening to our prayer, which we humbly offer in the name of your dear Son, Jesus. Amen.
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to have the freedoms that we enjoy, just adding, seconding, thirding what brethren and sisters have shared, how important it is to make the most of circumstances. I've never experienced persecution. Our dear brother Moses and others have and are, and may it only spur us on to want to get the message out there as quickly as possible so others can help lighten this dark earth with the glory of God, of the power of Jesus Christ on behalf of his people, who has the Spirit to give to all who want it. Thank you that you're not niggardly in giving it to those who are asking for it. Please help us not think about our past failures from the point of view that that's all we can think of. Keep us from this temptation. Help us think about Jesus' victorious life and where he's led us in the past, and we've been victorious, and what we've been forgiven, and at the same time, because of that forgiveness, enabled to stop living in whatever particular sin that we've committed in the past. I also want to thank you for the privilege of having fellowship with others who aren't of our faith. And brethren and sisters have this on a regular basis as well, some more than others, that these dear souls would be kept back from bias and kept back from their own opinions and ideas or learned people who they look up to when scripture speaks otherwise. I don't say there's anything the matter with learned people, of course, but if scripture speaks otherwise, plainly, that they would see the privilege of following the light while it's there, lest darkness comes upon them. That they would see the privilege of walking by faith, not by sight, and knowing that they have the word of God for the steps that they are taking. Thank you for the privilege of having means to simply return back to you, because you're the one that simply, it's the one that's giving us power to get going. And we ask that you give wisdom to the brethren that receive tithes and offerings in the way that it's distributed just where it needs to go at the right time in the right place, like you've done many times in the past. Thank you that we have the privilege of being stewards. None of us deserve it, but yet you would like us to learn in the school of Christ now so we can graduate to the school of Christ in heaven, to the new grade. Also uphold Brother Inossi in his experiencing of separation, the separation message, that he would be strengthened and know that he is doing the right thing as he continues to go in the last message of mercy, the whole everlasting gospel, not a part of it, to the exclusion of the rest, and that people unwilling to heed the whole message will not stop the dear souls whom you've impressed to continue, despite losing perhaps some of the closest of their relations, such as family members and long-time friends, and especially help those as well that aren't accepting of it. And this is repeated all around the world, that seem to find it hard to believe, to give up going by sight, that they would recognize that if faith comes by hearing the word of God, we can be thinking we're fulfilling prophecy on the right side when all together we're fulfilling prophecy, but it's on the wrong side of prophecy. It's not the side that you bless. It's not the side you're on. Also uphold our dear brother Moses with Elder Bob. I don't know what it's like to be in jail, but we suspect it's much different than it is in a first world country. And whatever, if there's money that's required to get him out, and that's the only way that you would impress us, if you impress me, to know and when and how to get that so we can help him. We pray nevertheless that his testimony would be powerful enough to convince the people that he is innocent and that Jesus is his Savior, the living God who rose from the dead. He is the one that's giving him hope, though he's being mistreated for his faith and for the innocent work that he's been doing. Please continue to be with Tanya, dear Sister Lynn's friend from work who's just returned to work after being transferred for a number of years. Right? She and other brothers and sisters are successful at holding Bible meetings, Bible readings that would be filled with a reliance upon you, Holy Spirit, to guide and lead and instruct, and also instruct the one conducting it and leading out, so that we're all learners at the feet of Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever was and could be. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a human being like us and know how to succor us when being tempted. In Jesus we pray, amen. And amen. Well, brothers and sisters, is there any songs you'd like to share? Any testimonies you might have? Any comments? Any suggestions? Any requests? Please feel free to share it or text it.
Yes, I have a scripture song before I go. Whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, even our faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen. That was beautiful, dear sister. And thank you, Brother James. A very powerful lesson tonight. And looking forward to next Wednesday's lesson as well.
Oh, thank you, bro. I've been learning a new scripture song, and you might be able to tell where it's from, where it comes from. I won't give it away. And thou shalt remember the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3-4. You know, I used to read that scripture text and think, oh, maybe sometimes you shouldn't always live on bread, but it says he doesn't live on it alone. So it's always the word of God that we must live, and there's nothing the matter with eating, provided it's not overeating and it's of the right quality and quantity. And what a thought. That's why we as Christians eat in the morning, spiritual food, and in the afternoon, in the evening, any time that we are tempted. This is one of the reasons we try to memorize scripture songs in against the enemy, because I can't help but think he's got an eidetic memory, and seeing our Savior is not our memory, but trusting in God is where our strength comes. He will give us all the power to overcome where he would have us overcome. Thank you, Brother Dick. You obviously picked up on it immediately. Thank you so much. Does any brothers or sisters have anything else?
Good evening, everybody. Sunday, my continued prayer for Brother Mary Moses. Am I allowed to come out of prison? Allegations are put against him from the SDA elders that he was inciting violence. That's the charge I found in the book. But in reality, they are passing out tracts and booklets with the messages of presence truth which he had printed. Yesterday, I could not manage to see the resident state attorney, a government lawyer, whom I made appointment to meet, and we see the fate of our brother. So, that morning I'm going to meet her, called Rachel, and we discuss. I'm in touch with other brethren. See, unfortunately, they didn't know much to do about how to secure him. Otherwise, he would not have reached the prisons, because there was nothing much that could pin him to prisons. But they were only dodging them, using tricks, until they made sure the younger man goes to prison. But with your prayers, your support, I believe all will be well and right. My biggest interest is to secure freedom for our brethren, so that the message is carried forward, both in the printed materials as well as door-to-door house preaching. That would be very great if we secure him and all the others will be encouraged, especially those who are new in the faith, like Brother Mwebe Moses. Thank you so much for your prayers. I'm waiting to see what will transpire, and I'll keep you posted. God bless you so much.
Well, thank you for the privilege once again, brothers and sisters, and Elder Bob. It's been a privilege, a learning experience, and I look forward to many more. And I wish you the best in the rest of the coming week. I know you're midway through, and like us, go with God, Godspeed, and until we meet next time, may the Lord stay and be your guide and protect you. Thank you for that testimony, Brother Joel and Sister Petra. I look forward to being updated and know how things are going. Praise the Lord that the word is getting out there too. That's fantastic. That's so good. You know, every time I'm out, like I'm going out today in a place called Stratton, and while I'm out there, I think about Africa, and I think about the Philippines, and I think about PNG, and I think about, you know, other places that brethren and sisters are scattered, and I think, wow, you know, I'm just thinking, they have a number of souls doing this, that's fantastic. And I think, you know, one day we're going to have that here, and Lord willing, we can enlighten all of Australia. There's 24 million, it's not that many, not in comparison with Africa or the Philippines, but everyone's precious, and everyone needs to be worked for, and everyone needs to be loved and shown the glory of God in the face of Jesus.